just like being a part of a group of people that were completely unlike me and yet accepted by them. And so I could kind of be a part of them and yet stand back at a distance and look through a lens. You know, you show up with a bunch of lights and, you know, a couple of guys with lots of cameras. I mean, I just feel like they're part of the, you know, the part of the spectacle. Hi, I'm Greg Siegel. I'm a photographer. I like to go for the jugular. So I want the pictures to have an emotional impact. And so I want them to be about something that, that really captivates the viewer and reaches them on a deeper level. And so you can do that with content and, of course, with the technical elements, the lighting and the framing and the relationship of the subject to the lens. I documented what went on in the neighborhood and things that maybe other people didn't notice. You know, 35 millimeter SLR, pretty cheap little camera, but it worked, did the job. I remember our neighbors produced a lot of trash, and it was sculptural the way it was piled in bags across the street from us and just made kind of a monolith of, you know, garbage that I shot. What you might call the ugly who had no chance. I think that's a line from a Philip Levine poem. That line of his strikes a chord with me too, because that's, for some reason, the subject matter that I sought out. You know, I would just wander around town into neighborhoods that were maybe a little rougher than the one we lived in, and just use the camera to get to know people. And so it was a way to, as a tool, it was sort of a sociological tool, I guess you could say. And I started getting a small body of work of families. I think the first time I was published was in a magazine called Camera Arts, and they did a little feature on me. I had just graduated from high school. The camera has always been sort of a passport that gives you access to people and things that you might not otherwise be privy to. And of course, by picking subjects that are loaded and weighty and emotional. You mentioned Esquire, and that was one of the ones that I started shooting for about 10 years ago. And I did my first assignment for them, and I kind of felt like I blew it. You know, I was shooting some guy with a car wash. He'd been a baseball player, and he owned a bunch of car washes. And I was to shoot this guy, Lenny Dykstra, who owned a car wash, and shoot him with his car. And I had all these lights set up, and I was working alone, and I set up these lights, and it was really windy, so they kept blowing over onto Lenny's really great, like, Cadillac or whatever. It was some big, expensive car. And then the idea was to have Lenny with a bunch of the guys who work at the car wash, who are all, like, possibly illegal immigrants. You know, they're guys from Mexico or Central America. And I wanted them to have, like, standing there with, like, their thumbs up or doing something with Lenny to make it, you know, to enhance the image. And none of them wanted to be photographed. And I realized as I was doing it, they probably didn't want to be photographed because they may have been illegal immigrants. And so they didn't want to be in a picture in a magazine. Nothing went right on the shoot. And I thought, oh, here I got my big shot shooting for them. And I blew it.
Lynn Dykstra hit a home run. This ball game is over.
Just shocked and grateful that they called me again for another shoot, because I just wasn't happy with it. I really do like that kind of juxtaposition of this is a real situation, and yet there's a kind of fantasy or a fantastic element to the picture, whether it be hyper-real and bright. If it's really punchy and saturated and crisp and poppy, kind of gives the pictures a feeling of super real. Yeah, I mean, I'm interested quite a bit in identity and how we see ourselves and the roles that we create for ourselves and the costumes we wear. I stumbled on the superheroes. I think that's the first, like, body work I did with people dressing up in costumes. There was something about the heroicism and the kind of universal appeal of superheroes that struck me. And I followed these superheroes home and photographed them in costume doing domestic chores. And that dramatic juxtaposition of the heroic and the mundane really interested me. Worked for Tips, and many of them, that was their main gig. I mean, they would stand around in front of Grauman's Chinese Theater in Hollywood, on Hollywood Boulevard. You know, and I went to photograph Batman, and we were on the street, and this car pulled up, and these kids got out. You could just see the like excitement on their faces to see Batman standing there. And he had a pretty great costume, this big rubber black cape, and he looked pretty convincing, you know. And so to these little kids, he was Batman, and he sort of believed that he was Batman himself on some level. And then later on, we were in the house, and he took off his mask, and he was all sweaty, you know, and he just looked, you know, kind of ruined and just messy, and he was reheating leftovers in a microwave, and he just looked kind of miserable. And, you know, you could see what drew him to want to be Batman, this larger-than-life character. The idea that these guys are really more interested in their made-up identity than their day-to-day sort of humdrum existence. I think people in general really like to be recognized. As a culture, we've put a premium on fame and recognition. And, you know, even if you're a murderer, on some level, you're a celebrity. I just always saw things through a frame, I guess you could say, much as we do, much as everyone does now. I mean, everyone sees photographically as they're constantly taking pictures.